This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to call the meeting of the Senate Health and Human Services Committee to order and begin our talk this morning. It's good to see a few people out here with bright and shiny faces. Although, you know, it's kind of like church, everybody's sitting in the back. Got to get those good seats before somebody else gets here. Well, just as a reminder, this is a welcome to the internet listeners as well. Welcome to each of you that might be listening in this morning. Quick reminder, please turn off your cell phone. At this stage, let's go ahead and, Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Bradford.
Here.
Senator Curd. Heinert.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
Sharma.
Here.
Rush.
Here.
Rampelberg.
Here. We have a quorum and we can proceed. I'd just like to, I know you, the pages have been here for a while, but there may be some people listening, like your parents on the internet. Please come forward and introduce yourself and maybe the town you're from and what your plans are. I know you've been doing this, so you know the drill, gals. Go for it.
Okay. I'm Mallory Gower. I go to Ipswich High School, and I plan on going into dental hygiene.
My name is Ruth Burkhalter. I'm from Prairie City, and I'm planning on being a math teacher.
Great. We like to hear about math teachers. That's great. We need all the ones we can get. Well, welcome again, and thank you for your service, gals. Let's see here. Just a reminder, if you plan to testify today, please sign in over at the podium. I think it's a lectern, but who cares? And sign in. Let's just have a moment to... Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting?
So moved.
I have a motion by Senator Jensen, second by Senator Sharma. Discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Minutes are approved. So let's just go ahead and kind of kick off our agenda here today with House Bill 1225. Do we have a proponent for House Bill 1025? I guess your compadres figured you can handle it, Ms. Adam. I see that. Welcome, and please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Joan Adam. I'm a division director with the Department of Health, here to request your support for House Bill 1025, an act to place certain substances on the controlled substances schedule and declare an emergency. Each year, the Department of Health introduces legislation to keep South Dakota laws consistent with federal Drug Enforcement Agency, or DEA, scheduling actions. There are four schedules of controlled substances, with Schedule 1 drugs having the highest potential for abuse with no accepted medical use in the United States, to Schedule 4 drugs that have the lowest potential for abuse and have a currently accepted medical use in the United States. I'm going to go ahead and walk you through section by section of the bill. Section 1 amends 3420B4.1 to update the list of anabolic steroids. On page 4, line 20 of the printed bill, the list of designer anabolic steroids begins. These are steroids where underground chemists have made slight chemical changes to compounds in order to avoid regulation. And therefore, why our list continues to grow. The list continues through page 5 of the printed bill. In section 2, which is on page 6 of the printed bill, this amends 3420B13 to add acetylfentanyl as a Schedule 1 drug. This designer drug is a derivative of the powerful pain-killing drug fentanyl. It has properties similar to heroin and has no medical use. It is responsible for overdose deaths in the United States. on page 7 of the printed bill, section 3. This amends 3420B16 to add naloxegol to the list of drugs that are excluded from the list of Schedule II drugs. Naloxegol is used for the treatment of opioid-induced constipation. Also in Section 3, which is on page 8 of the printed bill, Ioflupane is removed from the list of Schedule II drugs. This drug was originally scheduled because it is a derivative of cocaine. However, the DEA determined that it was not subject to abuse and removed it from the list. It is used in nuclear medicine or radiology to assist in the diagnosis of neurological diseases such as Parkinson's. Section 4, you'll see the amendment on page 11 of the printed bill. And this amends 3420B25. And this adds alloxetine to the list. Alloxetine is used for the treatment of irritable bowel syndrome with diarrhea, and it adds it to the Schedule 4 list. The final addition to the bill or on the bill is on page 11 also, section 5, and this is the emergency clause to allow the updates to take place after its passage and approval. And that concludes my testimony, Mr. Chairman. I respectfully request your support and passage of House Bill 1025.
Thank you, Ms. Adams. Do we have other proponents for for House Bill 1025? Other proponents? Seeing none, let's move to opponents. Are there any opponents to House Bill 1025 wish to testify? Any opponents? Seeing no opponents, let's move then to committee questions. Any questions?
Mr. Chair?
Senator.
Good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning.
Are these recommendations that we've received from the USDA or not USDA, but whichever?
DEA.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, if
please.
I may. Yes, these are scheduling actions that DEA has taken, and then the state of South Dakota follows suit and amends our statute to model DEA.
Thank you.
Yes.
Follow on. Apparently not. Are you okay, Senator?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Other questions? Other questions? Senator Bradford.
Could you repeat everything you said before? Because most of the words I can't even pronounce. But
that makes two of us.
I'm kind of curious. Who is the actual watchdog for you people to find out about these things, or how does that come about?
Certainly.
I'm curious how that.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, the process that takes place with the scheduling of the controlled substances is that the Department of Health actually issues registration to any provider, whether it be a physician, a dentist. There's a long list of providers in the state who must hold a registration in order to prescribe any of these drugs. Then, on the other end of the spectrum, law enforcement. When there is an arrest and a substance is confiscated, that substance is typically sent to the state public health laboratory, and it is tested in the forensic section of the laboratory. And then, based on what the substance turns out to be, if it is one of these drugs that is scheduled and is illegal to possess or distribute, then law enforcement takes it from there. So a multi-prong approach to watching all of this.
Senator?
And is what I really think fascinates me is that there's so many things now available on the internet I can't quite understand how you people could keep a handle on the internet, because you get all kinds of miracle drugs that they may not even be. The person may have one symptom out of the 10 it supposedly does, and it may be an addictive thing. And I wondered how that. How do you regulate that?
Mr. Chairman,
go ahead.
If I may.
Yeah.
Really, what the scheduling of the drugs achieves is that then it makes it illegal to sell the drug. So, as I mentioned, when a chemist changes one compound to something that's illegal, and they make one change to the drug, all of a sudden it's not illegal because it's not listed in our controlled substances statute. So once the drug is added, it is illegal to sell. So then law enforcement can also go after those who are selling, whether it's internet sales or it's the health food store who, you know, has it on the shelf and thinks it's fine to sell, that it doesn't have any addictive or damaging parts to the whatever substance it is they're selling. So that's why we're here every year before the legislature, because there is many industries out there that are constantly chemically altering substances.
Yes.
I guess my point is, and I know we only got one other bill, so why not talk? Anyway, I realize, you know, you're here telling us, but if that, who actually, once we put this on here, okay, we put her on, who's going to watch the internet sales? Do you have somebody in your department, or is that in our legal department that they watch that?
You want to hazard a guess?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, that is not part of the Department of Health's authority, but that would, again, I would defer to law enforcement that when things are being sold illegally or...
Thanks, Senator, for your question. Other questions from the committee? Other questions from the committee? Then let's move to discussion and or action. Discussion, action. Senator...
I would move it
due pass. We have a due pass by Senator Rush. Is that a second by Senator Kern? Just further discussion on the motion. Any discussion? Seeing everyone's ready to vote, those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Bradford?
Aye.
Kern?
Aye.
Heinert?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Sharma?
Aye.
Rush?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye. Motion carries. Other action?
Sure.
Yes. Senator.
Move for consent.
No, a motion for consent. Second by Senator Jensen. Senator Sharma made the motion. Senator Jensen seconded it. To move to consent calendar. Anybody, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Senate Bill 1025 will go down to the floor and be placed on the consensus or the consent calendar. I can get this out. Thank you, Ms. Adam.
Thank you.
Did a good job. They trusted you well. Let's go keep moving on with our agenda. Next, we have House Bill 1027, which is a bill that would revise provisions regarding licensure of massage therapists. Should be a little more discussion on this one. Please come forward.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Jennifer Staley, and I serve as the Executive Secretary for the Board of Massage Therapy and would like to walk you through House Bill 1027 on their behalf and ask for your support. House Bill 1027 makes updates to the Massage Therapy Practice Act to clarify the definition of massage, remove outdated sections, clarify what constitutes unlicensed practice, and make changes to the temporary permit and licensure by reciprocity requirements. In the intervening months since last session, the Board of Massage Therapy convened a work group to comprehensively review the Massage Therapy Practice Act. The work group solicited input from current and past licensees, national massage therapy membership organizations through a number of conference calls and in-person meetings and emails. The board also considered input from a number of massage therapists, and all of this input was considered in proposing the first comprehensive changes to the Massage Therapy Practice Act since its inception in 2005. Those changes are found in House Bill 1027, and with your permission, Mr. Chair, I will walk you through the bill section by section to give you a sense of the changes the board is proposing. Section 1 clarifies the definition of massage by including feet as a way to provide massage therapy within that definition. There are modalities of massage therapy in which the therapist is using his or her feet to actually deliver the massage. We also add a definition of licensee so that we can use that term consistently throughout the rest of the chapter. Section 2 removes outdated language concerning the staggered appointment of board members and the language that reset the terms of board members to expiration to October 31st. That reset has taken place, and that language is no longer necessary. Section 3 clarifies the annual election of our board officers and removes the reference to hiring an executive secretary in that section because that authority is moved to Section 19, which we'll discuss in a moment. Section 4 provides that the board must hold at least 2 meetings per year and retains the ability of the board president or a majority of the boards to call additional meetings, that being unchanged. Section 5 clarifies that a licensee is required to display a license at his or her regular place of business or be able to produce the license and photo identification upon request. We've added that failure to display or produce is a petty offense, and the addition of this penalty is intended to aid law enforcement in addressing unlicensed practice so that when law enforcement is checking on an establishment or a licensee, they would be able to issue a ticket on the spot because they would know if the person was licensed or not immediately. Section 6 amends and clarifies the current language related to unlicensed practice. The proposed language would add language making it a Class 1 misdemeanor for any person or business to knowingly allow an unlicensed person to practice in their establishment. Again, this is an addition to the Class 1 misdemeanor for a person who's practicing without a license and is aimed at addressing those establishments that are facilitating or allowing unlicensed practice. Section 7 clarifies language concerning the application fee for a temporary permit and adds language requiring that the person applying for a temporary permit indicate an intention to actually practice in South Dakota during the time period that they would hold the temporary permit. If you remember, 2 or 3 years ago, we created the temporary permit category. It was intended to allow a person who's graduated from massage therapy school a period of time to actually practice while he or she awaited taking the national exam, which is required for licensure. We originally set that time frame at 180 days as a combination of time to study for the exam and allowing time for the person to get their national exam score sent back to the board. The board is proposing to shorten that time period to 90 days for a combination of things, but most notably that the national exam organizations are getting those exam scores back to us much quicker than I think was originally anticipated. And also so that we are not in any way helping someone use a temporary permit from South Dakota as a fraudulent basis to get a license or another permit in another state. So that's the reason for the reduction in the length of the temporary permit. Section 8 and 9 deletes language used to reset all of our licensees to a universal renewal date and removes references to resetting that renewal date. Again, in 2013, we set the renewal date or the expiration date for all of our licensees to September 30th, and the language in 8 and 9 is no longer necessary. Section 10 amends the list of unprofessional conduct for a licensee to include aiding, abetting, facilitating, or promoting unlicensed practice. So if you are a licensed massage therapist, it would be considered unprofessional conduct for you to knowingly allow someone who's unlicensed and not report that. Section 11 repeals the grandfather clause. For those of you who have been here for multiple terms, you recall that when the board was first established, a grandfathering period was provided for those folks who do not meet our current education requirements. We currently require 500 hours of education, a national exam, proof of malpractice insurance. There was a period of time where folks who didn't have either the 500-hour program or the national exam were allowed to be grandfathered in. That period has lapsed. We have captured all of those folks who wanted to take advantage of that, and Section 12 would remove that, Section 11 would remove the grandfathering clause to avoid any confusion for folks who are looking at becoming licensed in South Dakota. Section 12 takes out our current reciprocity language and replaces it with language that would allow a licensee from another state to be licensed in South Dakota, those educational requirements notwithstanding, if the applicant is licensed in another state, is in good standing as a licensee in that other state, and has been engaged in the active practice of massage therapy for at least 200 hours in the previous year. Right now, our reciprocity statute essentially says that if you're licensed in another state and you want to be licensed in South Dakota, you need to meet all of South Dakota's licensing requirements. So effectively, we don't have licensure by reciprocity. The language in Section 12 is consistent with what other professional boards use regarding reciprocity, and again would be contingent on the person being in good standing and licensed in another state. Section 13 is clarifying language for setting out the requirements for renewing a license. It's for consistency's sake and doesn't change any of the requirements for renewal. Section 14 clarifies that in order to inactivate your license, you have to currently have an active license. We do have an inactive license category, which allows you for a one-time fee of $25 to make your license inactive for a period of time, for whatever reason you may not be practicing, and that would allow you to not have to meet the malpractice insurance requirements or the continuing education requirements for a period of time when you're not practicing. Section 15 clarifies the board's authority to inspect subject to a complaint. Section 16, again, adds the word licensee in place of person, and we talked about that definition being added in Section 1. And Section 17 lists the board's authority to promulgate rules, and here we are specifically asking to delete the authority to promulgate rules concerning conducting disciplinary proceedings, because that process is set forth already in SDCL 1-26, which is the Administrative Procedures Act, which is what we follow regarding complaints, and deleting the authority to promulgate rules concerning the investigation of complaints, because that's an internal operating procedure and doesn't need to be subject to rule. Section 18 clarifies that the exemption for providing continuing education in the state without a license is limited to 10 calendar days per year, and that it must be a licensed massage therapist or a licensed provider from another state that's coming into South Dakota for a limited period of time and providing continuing education. And then Section 19 goes on to delineate the powers and authority of the board in one specific chapter in one area. As I said, Mr. Chairman, this bill is the end product of good discussions and contributions by a wide variety of interested parties. Much like your legislative process, not every suggestion that came forward in that discussion made it into the final bill, but all of the suggestions were considered, and there is consensus by all who participated in the process of support for this bill. And on behalf of those participants and the board, I would ask for your favorable support of the bill as well. Stand by for questions.
Thank you for your testimony. Let's just see what else we might have that would like to speak. Are there other proponents for House Bill 1027? Other proponents? Seeing none, let's move to opponents. Are there opponents to House Bill 1027 that would care to testify? Other opponents? Seeing none, let's move to questions from the committee. Questions. Senator Sharma.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning.
Good morning.
Just a couple little points of clarification, and I don't know if it's a big deal or not. It talks about manual methods of human hands or feet. when I get a massage occasionally, the person uses their elbows or forearms. I'm a big guy, so they need to really dig in there. So it doesn't really state that. Human touch may be too broad, but I don't have an issue with this. I'm just saying that for future, there may be some way to deal with that. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, the reason we added feet is that I think that there are multiple modalities that use feet. They use a bar system and use their feet. There are certainly other parts of your body that may be used. Our intent really in adding that and providing that clarification is probably more intended to get it at folks who are practicing without a license so that we don't have someone who's using only their feet who comes back and says, well, you didn't say feet and therefore it's not massage and therefore you don't have jurisdiction. So I don't disagree that there may be other modalities, but hands and feet are the most popular modalities.
Thank you. Another question. So the conditions for reissuing a temporary license, it doesn't really, but just kind of give me some insight. I know it says that you can apply no more than twice. So since you're shortening the temporary period from 180 days to 90 days, what are the challenges of getting a second temporary license?
Mr. Chairman?
Please answer, yeah.
The purpose of the temporary permit, again, was to allow a new graduate time to study for the exam, and the 180 days was set thinking that that would be a period of time for study and to get the national exam scores back. I don't have the statistics, Senator, but most people pass the exam the first time. If you don't pass the exam the first time, you would be allowed an opportunity to take the exam again and have another temporary permit, and most people do that almost immediately and in a very short period of time. So we haven't had instances where someone has taken a full year to take the exam. I think the folks who are intending to use the temporary permit as it's intended are trying to take the test again quickly while knowledge is still fresh.
Yeah, I guess I was kind of thinking of someone that graduated from massage therapy school, started to do some therapy on a temporary license, you know, fall in love, go to some other city for 60 days or 120 days and change their mind about living out of state and come back. Okay, so they wouldn't have actually tested during the time frame.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
That person would be eligible for a second temporary permit. I mean, they would be able to come back and because it's either contingent on the time period lapsing, so the 90 days lapsing, or failure of the exam.
Okay, thank you. And then just one point for clarification. You said that those people that were grandfathered in have now been captured. Can you kind of define captured for me?
Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
Again, for those of you who have been involved in the Massage Therapy Board since its inception, we have offered two different and distinct grandfathering periods. There was the first period where we got a number of folks licensed, and they're able to stay licensed as long as they continue to renew their license or become inactive. Each year during the renewal period, we have a list of people whose license is grandfathered. And what that means, Senator, is they either didn't take a national exam or they don't have $500 of education. And for that group of licensees, there are special efforts made to make sure that they know it's the renewal period and they know that if they don't renew, they probably are not going to be able to get a new license if there's a lapse. So we've captured them in our database for that purpose.
Other questions from the committee? Questions from the committee? I just have a couple of questions here. One, on page 7 of the printed bill, line 6, says the board may cancel, suspend, or revoke a license on a contested case. And what I was looking at here, Ms. Daly, is what accountability is in place. It's something that we've kind of talked about this year that we maybe haven't talked about in the past. Is this something where the only time that you would know that someone was not practicing appropriately would be a contest? Somebody would write a complaint letter or some legal action that may ensue. What accountability methods are in place through this particular bill?
Mr. Chairman, the board has a form and requires that if someone is going to make a complaint against a licensed massage therapy, that complaint be reduced to writing. And when the complaint comes into our office, the person alleging the complaint is notified that the complaint has been received. The licensee who the complaint is against is given an opportunity to respond to that complaint and provide additional information. Depending on the nature of the complaint, we may proceed to having the board investigate that complaint. We may proceed to a full hearing. All of that is governed by the Administrative Procedures Act as far as notice and the process that we would be following. If we receive a complaint of unlicensed practice, so if someone calls us and says, I went to a massage therapist and I don't believe that person is licensed, we ask them to reduce that to writing as well. But because it's unlicensed practice and that's criminal behavior, it's not regulatory behavior, the board doesn't have the authority to determine whether or not there will be criminal charges. We do share that complaint with the local law enforcement where the complaint is alleged or the action is alleged to have happened and move it through and cooperate with law enforcement if they pursue that complaint. But we do ask that, that complaints be written and submitted to the office so that the licensee has a fair statement of what's being alleged against them as far as their conduct.
Thank you. Very good explanation. It's very similar, I would think, to the other health providers in that nobody's walking around with a badge trying to find out who might be doing things wrong, but you're right there when something does come up. Other question I had is on page 3. It's line 22. It talks here about the if the applicant intends to practice. Pretty soft word. How do they go about intending?
Mr. Chairman, that's... We will ask on the application form for a temporary permit if the person intends to practice. So we would ask them to make a statement to us that they would be intending to be in South Dakota. We would also be asking for a South Dakota conduct. The reason that that change is proposed is we have had more than one instance where someone from another state has applied for a temporary permit, and we've never had a South Dakota contact for that person. They've never provided us with a South Dakota address. And in talking with our national partners, our fear is that that person is would be getting a temporary permit from South Dakota, would be putting that on a wall in another state and letting people know that they are licensed, even though they're not fully licensed in South Dakota, and it's in a different jurisdiction. And ultimately, our responsibility is to protect the public, and so that when any of you go in to have your massage, you know that you're getting a massage from someone who is, in fact, professionally trained to do that. And the national organizations brought that to our attention, and we noticed that pattern happening here, and so we want to make sure that there's at least an intent to practice here and potential recourse for us if we find out that the person didn't intend to take that permit as quickly as we can.
Excellent. Thank you for your answer. Other questions before we move? Questions? I just wanted to compliment you. You know, did you write this? You really have a great understanding of what's in here.
Mr. Chairman, I spend a great deal of time with my massage therapy friends, so yeah, thank you.
Well, gosh, it's
a lot of people contributed.
Very well presented. Thank you for your testimony today. Moving on, let's move then to discussion and/or action by the committee. Senator Bradford, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question of the judge. Is there they're adding a Class 1 misdemeanor? Is there any jail time with that?
Go ahead, yes.
Senator, with a Class 1 misdemeanor, there is a potential jail and fine. Of course, it's 0 to 1 year, I think, on there.
I guess my point is, in judiciary, if we have anything that's added that jail time, you have to have an impact statement. And I wouldn't want it to get derailed by some crazy guy, you know, saying, well, you don't have an impact statement.
You know, that's
maybe it's not needed. Tell it.
Senator, thank you for your comment. I didn't even think about that. Roxy, do you have any background on that?
Mr. Chair.
Excuse me. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Come back up and tell us.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, we're adding a Class 1 misdemeanor. My understanding is that the jail impact forms were for felonies.
Yeah, it's in the Class 1 misdemeanor. But please, Roxy, do you have an opinion for us?
Mr. Chair, they are actually for misdemeanors and felonies. I guess, could you point me to where the misdemeanor is being added in the bill?
Perhaps, Senator Bradford, do you have an earmarked on your copy there where that... okay.
I just heard her tell it.
Okay.
She told it to me when she pitched the bill.
Okay.
What we're actually... Mr. Chairman, if I might...
Yes, please.
And I'm not sure that we're necessarily adding it so much as we're increasing the definition of what is considered to be the Class 1 misdemeanor. 36-3510, which is Section 6 on page 3, lines 12... where we're saying that it's a Class 1 misdemeanor to practice without a license or to own, operate, or manage a business which employs or contracts with any unlicensed person to offer massage therapy. Okay, thank you. And I can see that, obviously, there is an argument to be made that that could possibly affect it. Generally, we catch these when they go through our office, and this one passed through without us feeling like it was going to need one. Now, it can be requested if that's something that the committee feels is important. However, because it's not technically adding a new crime, and it's not really broadening the current definition, that's why we didn't prepare one before.
Okay, so...
I just didn't want you to lose a bill.
Yeah. Thanks. Thank you, Senator. Judge. Senator Rush.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I would move that we defer a decision on this until we get a jail impact statement. And I doubt that the impact is going to be very significant in this, but I could see somebody raising that on the floor and having problems. So I wonder if that wouldn't be the most cautious way to proceed.
Thank you. Well, our calendar is not all that full, and certainly I know Ms. Staley is around, so she could come back again if need be. It's an excellent point, Senator. Thanks for that catch, a good catch. I'll defer that now, and we will we'll look at maybe calendaring this again on Friday. You know, actually, I think we're going to maybe wait until Monday, and the reason is we have three bills on Friday that could take some time. I think if that's okay, there's no time frame. And then maybe as counsel, you can do some more research on this and get back to us on what needs to be done and prepare the statement as need be. Okay? Further business? Oh, yes. Excuse me. We have a bill that needs to be introduced from the governor, and it is an act to authorize additional nursing facility beds for the Michael J. Fitzmaurice Veterans Home, which is in Hot Springs, and to declare an emergency. And this needs to be moved, and then it will go down to the floor.
Introduction.
This needs to be introduced, excuse me. I think, Roxy, why don't you just explain this a little bit for Senator Sharma and Bruce, how this works again.
Mr. Chair, this bill will just be brought on behalf of the Health and Human Services Committee. Bills can be brought by agencies, they can be brought by legislators, they can be brought by the governor, and they can also be brought by committees. And we have been asked by the governor's office, because that deadline has passed, to bring it as a committee. So you will just move to bring the bill, and then it will be taken down to the front desk of the Senate by the chair, or it will be introduced and most likely referred back to the committee for hearing.
Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move that we bring the bill.
Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second to bring the bill. Is there a discussion on the motion? Sensing none, since everyone is ready to vote, all those in favor of voting for this introduction bill requesting additional beds to the Michael J. Fitzmaurice Veterans Home, please vote A if you're in favor, nay if you're opposed. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Bradford?
Aye.
Kurd?
Aye.
Heinert?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Sharma?
Aye.
Rush?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye. Motion carried. The bill has been introduced, will be sent down to the floor, and we will most likely have it back again, just as everyone will know. And I'm not sure what they're increasing it from, but they're asking to not exceed 76 beds. So we'll be probably taking a look at this again. I think everybody's familiar. This is a new facility down there, and I'm sure we're just kind of tidying things up. But thank you for your support. I'll drop this bill then with the, and it'll get calendared. Other discussion? Seeing none, is there a motion for adjournment?
Moved
by Senator Heinert. Second by who? Senator Bradford. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. We are adjourned.